the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Feed the birds, that's what she cries, while overhead her birds fill the skies. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she sells her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares.
Feeding the birds. Should we? Should you? What is our relationship with these creatures? Well, it's been Vicky Martin's study for years. It was her PhD thesis at the University of Southern Cross in Lismore. And now she's at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Another example, incidentally, of how a regional university can flourish and make its mark, even internationally. We're sitting in the ornithology lab, the bird lab of Cornell University, in the Raven Room, because each room has got a different bird name. And as we look out the window, there's snow everywhere and trees with no leaves on and squirrels going up and down. Tell me, Vicky Martin, from Australia, you've been at the lab for a couple of years, and I must say it's absolutely wonderful here. You've got birds celebrated at every level. You've got labs where you can hear the sounds they make. You've got paintings through the hall. You've got a whole section on Australian birds, painting showing both the present ones we've got as well as the extinct ones, especially in New Zealand, of course, where many have lapsed. Isn't it a delight?
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievably inspiring. I love coming to work every single day. I love the people I work with. Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's a good place for people to visit, say, from Australia, if they want to come.
Yes, we have a visitors centre that's open 7 days a week. We absolutely love visitors coming in. If the weather's bad outside, they can come in and learn a lot. If it's nice outside, there's beautiful trails to walk around.
And what happens when you go along the trails? Can you see particular local birds?
Many, many local birds. I can't tell you all the all the names of them, but yeah, you'll definitely see quite a variety here. If you look out on the pond, you'll see all sorts of interesting ducks, and usually Canada goose are out there. But up in the trees, you'll get all sorts of things. It just depends on the season too, of course.
Name a couple.
All right, well, I really love watching the blue jays and the chickadees. They're very, very common. My colleagues will probably laugh at me, but they're so common, like the magpie in Australia. I guess the one that really strikes me is the northern cardinal. That's a bright red one that we all grew up with on Christmas cards, and suddenly I find myself in this lovely snowy environment with bright red birds in the bushes, and it's just like the Christmas cards we had as kids.
And your research is based on the interaction between people, ordinary people, members of the public, and the birds themselves. What's your line?
Well, I'm a social scientist, and I'm very grateful to be the first social scientist under the ROSE postdoctoral program. So I'm really interested in the way that we communicate with the public about birds, but particularly how we work with the public so that we can all learn more about birds, usually through citizen science.
And you're also looking at feeding of birds. I know the world is split. It's a bit like in the United States, for or against Trump. You've got for and against feeding. What have you found in your studies?
Well, it's very different here in the US. Bird feeding is a very common practice. A lot of people have backyard bird feeders. We know that there's about 57 million people across the US alone who feed birds around their home, and that number's growing. It's a very similar situation to the UK, I guess. So it's quite a different culture to Australia, where bird feeding is less acceptable, although I hear that's changing.
Yes, there's a wonderful book by Darryl Jones from Griffith University in Brisbane about that. We've interviewed him on the Science Show. And he suggests that as long as you're not doing it every day forever, you don't tend to change the habits of the birds. And when you're not feeding them, they get on with life normally. Is that what you found here as well?
Well, I refer to Daryl's work a lot as well. So I don't study the birds themselves, I study the people. But from what I can gather from Daryl's work and the work of many of my colleagues at the lab is that in general, most birds are not affected in negative ways from bird feeding. But we do know that there are some things we have to be cautious about, like cleaning the feeders properly and regularly so that we reduce the chance of disease being spread through the feeders. There are some particular examples where bird feeding has maybe changed the range of some birds, like the Anna's hummingbird. But in general, it sounds like it doesn't affect them too negatively anyway. It's a good thing for them.
When you consider the impact we have building roads and towns and all that stuff, I would imagine that feeding would be quite low on the list of transformation.
Yeah, I think so. And people really like the thought that they're helping birds, particularly when we have very harsh winters here. The temperatures are nothing like I've ever experienced in Australia or New Zealand. So you see the birds out there and you can't help wanting to help them out a little bit.
Well, of course, the temperatures in Australia have been going up like crazy, especially in the recent summer, going up to 49 degrees C in some places or more, and the hottest January on record. And here you've got some of the coldest on record.
Yes, I think around the time Adelaide was hitting about 49, we were minus 22 here. And that's not as cold as even further north, but we're pretty close to the Canadian border here.
One wonders how the birds, the tiny things, because loss of heat, if you're small, is so much greater. And if it's minus 22 degrees C, I mean, they must be falling out of the sky sometimes.
Yeah, you would expect so. We know that many species migrate, of course, so they are smart enough to get, and able enough to get out of here. But obviously some birds are quite adaptable, and you'd probably have to speak to my colleagues about how they managed.
What have you found in general about public attitudes to birds and why they value them so much?
Well, I've been focusing on a particular audience that we don't serve very well here at the lab. So we have some of the most well-known citizen science programs in the world, so we're world leaders in citizen science. So what some listeners might not know from Australia is that we also run Project Feeder Watch. So this particular project asks people to identify and count the birds that come to their feeders over winter. It's been running for 32 years now, and we have almost 25,000 participants across North America, which is amazing. So we've learned a lot about bird populations, their health, changes in where they live, and disease and behaviour. And what I wanted to know is how we can start to reach some of the people that we're not reaching quite so well with this program. So like I said earlier, we have about 57 million people just in the US alone who feed birds. So there must be some sort of opportunity that we can look at to engage some more of those people. Project Feeder Watch, it turns out, engages mostly older people. By older, I mean over 50. And we've seen that average age of the participants increasing every year. So it's now around 64 years old. That's in part due to the really high retention rate that we have in the project. It's around 65% come back every year. So that's an extraordinarily high retention rate for a project like this. The problem is that we want this project to keep going because it's providing really important information for conservation and management of birds and scientific information, of course. My research has been focused purely on the under 50s and more recently on the 18 to 35 year olds. So what I did is managed to interview younger adult bird feeders across the US, and I spoke to 72 of these younger people. And what we found was that they're feeding birds for very, very similar reasons to adults in other studies. They love it for their own personal benefit. They love watching and observing them. It brings them joy and happiness and relaxation. They feel like they're helping the birds. We also detected some social interactions that they value. So they like sharing their love of birds with other people. But what surprised us was that they said they wished there were more people they could talk to in their own age group about the birds that they're seeing. And then I started to hear lots of stories about their interactions with bird groups, so online groups or in-person groups. And they were telling me they're all made up of older people, and so they don't feel like many of these groups are really for them. So part of my work is now looking at how do we create community to connect all these younger people who are passionate about birds, but don't really have a community that they can talk to.
One wonders what the young people are doing instead, and of course one can guess.
Well, what we're experimenting with is a special Facebook group that's been born out of a lot of work with a focus group, and some young people are here at the lab as well. And we've got some amazing interactions happening within this group already that's connecting people across the US and Canada, purely through their love of feeding birds.
So you hope to build up a bigger group?
Yeah, but also use this group as, I guess, a captive audience to do more research with this age group. So we're very excited about some plans that we've got coming up with the communications department on Cornell campus, and we're going to be involving some students in analysing the types of interactions that are going on here. But also I'll be talking to the group about how we can reduce some of their barriers so that more of these people get involved in Project Feeder Watch as well.
How valuable is citizen science work in this area?
Well, for the lab, it's the lifeblood. I mean, it's absolutely essential. You may have seen some of our interactive graphic representations of where birds are migrating. We have some amazing data. Every day we get tens of thousands of submissions from around the world. It's absolutely essential.
Which is why you're here.
Yes. So I'm looking at how we connect with audiences and make sure that we do a better job of recruiting people to these projects, making sure that they feel valued and get the feedback that they're after, so that we can retain them in the long run as well.
Vicky Martin at Cornell.